Welcome to Changing Lives, the podcast for all staff here at Signet Healthcare. We change people's lives every day. However big or small, our actions really do make a difference. So we've created this podcast to share the stories, opinion and advice from you, our staff, to help empower us all. In this episode, we're at Gledholt Mews talking with resident Peter Adu about Duzzy Arts, a social enterprise he has launched to support individuals living in mental health services. We also chat with service manager Enrique Jose Chacoris and some of the staff team at Gledholt Mews about their unique approach to mental health and what makes the service so special. Over to you, Peter and Enrique.
So, my name is Peter Adu. I was born in Huddersfield. I've lived in Huddersfield all my life. I have been involved with mental health since 1999, which is when I had my first kind of event, really. I felt really tired and stressed at the time, and I was having auditory hallucinations, but not many visual ones. But anyway, I've been in and out, and I've arrived at Gledholt Mews in 2021, and that's when all the good things started, pretty much, really. I was doing work with just artwork, basically, just really quick doodles, and it just snowballed from there, really. When I was, before I came onto this ward, I was at Ashdale, and there was a patient there that was feeling a bit low and down. And so I asked him if he'd like to borrow some magazines to just have a look at and see how he feels. And it worked for him. It was very good. And he came back, you know, a completely different person. Smiling, happy. He had something to do as well, because he had a computer as well, but he wasn't like using it for anything that would, you know, help him out as such. And so the idea behind Duzzy Arts and Oswald's is that we have some art that you've seen, and we use some of the money to go towards buying magazines for people that are in supported living or moving towards independent living in the community. So basically, if you're perhaps a bit nervous about it, wondering how you're going to meet people and things like that, at least you'll have a magazine to build upon and, you know, just find hobbies or join clubs and things like that.
Can you describe the artwork that you kind of draw, the feel of it for our listeners so they can get an idea of what it looks like?
Okay, so it's black and white, quite minimalist, quite catchy. They're a bit like catchphrases, and they take probably about a minute to do on paper, but then I draw them up on computer, which takes a bit longer using digital tools and pens and things like that. They can be really simple or really complicated in thought. Sometimes it's like it's just an expression of thought, and then you try and put that into drawing, and then I add something like a caption as well to build upon and give value to the image. And yeah, that's a doozy for you.
Yeah, they're quite funny as well, quite amusing, yeah. Humorous, aren't they?
Well, we did an interesting doozy. I gave you an interesting project, didn't I?
Yeah. Put me on the spot. But it's good. It's a new idea. And I like to develop new ideas as well. Sometimes they just come spontaneously, and I'll make a little note and think I'll come back to that. And then sometimes other people have now started coming forward with things. So that's so it goes beyond me, if you see what I mean. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah, because most of the drawings are kind of like experiences I've had throughout life, TV, just sport and things like that. And humor, of course. I think one was Jimmy Cricket. And so I had stumps. I had a cricket ball and just put Jimmy next to it. And then some people quite like that one, yeah. So there's lots of humour. Some are quite serious, but they're not meant to be taken too seriously. Just enjoy them, enjoy the message behind them.
Yeah, I can see the appeal to everyone. And where we're sat now at Gledholt in the boardroom, I can see your artwork on the walls. I've seen it in Enrique's office.
It's better in real life.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's difficult to get exactly how you'd receive them online. But once you print them off and put them in a frame, they're quite good. I quite like them. I like them more when they're, yeah, on walls.
And can anyone buy your artwork?
Yeah. That's the idea. It's a social enterprise. So 50 pence each, and then just go happy, buying about two or three. And then if you could buy a frame, you don't even have to buy three frames if you buy three. You can just rotate the images and then use one frame.
Yeah. And so the idea is that the funds then go to help other people who are on a mental health journey or...
The idea is for magazines. So once a person is moving from, say, Gledhill Muse into the community and he or she maybe not settling as well, having lack of things to do, then that's where the magazines would come in and then could build upon from there.
Oh, fantastic. And how have you been supported at Gledhill to do that? Is the staff really supportive? Are your peers supportive?
Very supportive. I mean, they're on the walls, isn't it? Yeah. That's the main obvious thing. But yeah, staff are very supportive on all levels. They all seem to really like the works and stuff. So that's a great encouragement for me. And yeah, you feel good. You feel good. But that's the kind of like ethic here, to get people independent, to be independent, support themselves, and just use this kind of, let's say, pot as a sort of incubation for developing yourself and recovering from whatever you've gone through and moving forward. I'm a big fan of occupational therapy. Yeah, so, well, I suppose being an artist as well, there you go. But like occupational therapy is the biggest help for me because it takes your minds into a relaxed state. It can do. And not only that, we can go outside and things like that, just observe nature. The park isn't too far away. And I don't get bored as such or feel low because I always find something to do. And there's other residents as well, so you can sit down and just talk about things and, yeah.
Take inspiration from each other.
That's right, yeah. This is the one-stop shop resource for everything. Yeah, it's all we need. Yeah, it is. You know, it's very, it's just the correct environment to live, really. Yeah, it's almost better than real life, if you see what I mean, because you get so much support. So when you do leave to go to independent living, it's going to be a bit of a shock for many of us, I think. But as long as you keep getting out of the house, I think that helps. Yeah. As long as you've got activities, something to work towards, you can be okay. I think you'll be okay. And then you meet new people, of course, through like joining the gym. That's a good start. There's art clubs as well. Yeah, so it's good.
Oh, fantastic. And what does the future hold for you with your Duzzy Arts and your, is it magliotherapy?
I call it magliotherapy, but the correct term is bibliotherapy because it's bibliotherapy is reading, studying books and things like that as a way to express yourself, poetry and things like that. Yeah.
How can people find out about your art? Is there a website?
Yes, there's a website. It's at www.ozworlds.com. That's OZWORLDS.com. And then there's a link there to the Dizzy Arts as well.
Fantastic. I think what you're doing is amazing. You're a real inspiration. Yes. You should be proud. Our conversation with Peter and Enrique then moved on to the environment at Gledhill Muse and the approach that the staff team and residents take to mental health recovery within the service.
And do you feel like you've changed and developed whilst you've been at Gledhill?
I've become more comfortable. There's no kind of edginess or not so much suspicion. It's very very calming as well, I find. Yeah, that's and there is the trust there. It took a bit of time to grow, I think, because you know when you go to hospitals and things like that, the experiences are not pleasant. It doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, they kind of all treat you the same, which is kind of, it's a bit unfair, but, and a bit harsh and upsetting as well. Yeah, yeah. But then I thought, okay, so mental health staff, they have to deal with a lot of challenging behaviour and things like that. So there's no kind of bad feeling towards anyone in mental health. It's just have to get over it slowly and then carry on, which is happening here, a new take on mental health. It's very good.
The kind of the bit you were alluding to when you were talking about mental health and going round in a circle, going round it, before I interrupted you. What did you mean by that?
Mental health is not mentioned here. That's what I said, isn't it? And I said, it's like we go around mental health and separate mental health from who you are and how you can move on from that kind of that label of being a mental health patient. You can be moved on from here to create a new way of life for yourself, is what I meant. Not that it was ignored, not that mental health is ignored, it's just that you're taken away from that and reborn, pretty much. You know, another life. Yeah, another life. Which is quite a serious thing there. That's a very moving kind of ethic to work to and stuff. Very good.
I think that's quite unique, isn't it? And Enrique, I think that it is alluding to what you were saying before about let go of all those preconceptions and just meet the person as they are and work together. And
yeah, I think as a service, you have to have the courage to let go. And I think if we're expecting, you know, the people that we're supporting to also let go and trust, then we equally as a service have to let go and trust and kind of go with kind of the humanity of everything. Humanistic approaches and person-centered approaches have kind of been done to death, but the reality is, how do you really do that? And you've got to be able to do that without a kind of preconception of what you're expecting. Our outcome is basically based on that person being in the right place for them. So if it means, you know, smashing 3 cups a day, if that's part and parcel of the behaviour, then so be it. It's smashing 3 cups a day. Does that necessarily need to be a negative? It's about understanding why somebody may be smashing 3 cups a day. Mm-hmm. We've got to get rid of our kind of perceptions and preconceived ideas. And as a service, it's got to be collectively. So the expectation is that, you know, we're expecting you to be open and honest and look at yourselves equally. That's what we should be doing every day as a service, open and honest and look at ourselves and think, okay, where can we improve? What have we learned today? What have we not learned? And I think it's a mutual kind of therapeutic relationship.
Yeah, mutual, definitely mutual. And it's definitely a relationship that has to be built up. I mean, you have to have rapport from the beginning? Almost. You can always grow, but like, if you have that initial rapport and trust and a bit of courage as well, that can lead to good things. I mean, many of the residents are going to college and things like that. So everyone is trying and things, yeah. Everyone has their little skills and things like that, yeah. which is good. Just build up and build up. Give confidence and...
Yeah, we have to create movement, I think. As the resident moves, the service needs to move. So service hasn't got to be like a solid, this is Gledhall, the immovable object where people go through. It's got to be transient, and the service has to be transient with that. So what we are today is what we are today. Tomorrow we may be something totally different. But the core is there, and that's that honesty and that acceptance. Everybody has a history, and that journey from birth to where you are now affects who you are, what you are, and how you kind of see the world. I think what we try to do as a service is to see the world through that person's eyes. And that sounds very cliche, but we honestly believe in that. Peter's journey and Peter's dreams were kind of Peter's journey and Peter's dreams. With Gledhall and with things that were happening, I have a saying that revolution only happens when the timing's right. And for Peter, the timing was right, because there was this cause and effect thing that everything went into place. And what we have learned here is that if the energy is there, we just follow that groove and we don't fight it. And I remember having a conversation with Peter saying, this is going to be the start of something. Just let it happen. And kind of Peter looked at me like odd.
Like you usually, like I'm doing now.
Like you're doing now. That's a frequent look I get from Peter. What you're talking about, Enrique, kind of thing. But it develops. And we don't have an agenda other than to listen. I think once we start having an agenda that, oh, we're going to do this and we're going to achieve this, then it doesn't become that person's journey. It becomes our kind of aspiration and expectation. So I think a lot of work goes with understanding that, but not just with the residents that we're fortunate to have here, but with the staff as well. It's, you know, listen, but it's hearing also. I mean, the important thing is to understand what that person is saying or feeling.
Next, we caught up with Dishna, OT at Gledhall Mews, about how the staff team and residents work together on the individual's recovery journey. We also talked about the crucial foundation that the service provides to empower people with the tools and support that they need to get back into the community after time spent living in mental health services.
So my name's Dishna. I'm an occupational therapist and I started working at the Gledhall service back in August. So I am relatively new to the service as well. And since August, it's just been really sort of a refreshing change to kind of places I've worked at before, working in such a kind of team focused environment where the residents are at the heart of the service and their kind of opinions and thoughts are valued.
Cool. And can you talk us through like what a typical day is like for you at Gledhall and the kind of people that you're working with day to day?
So the residents here like varying kind of skills and their occupational needs, really. So everything is very individualised. We can range from supporting people with their basic needs right up to kind of looking at tapping into community resources such as college or community kind of volunteering or employment opportunities, as well as social aspects as well outside in the community. So a lot of the focus has been kind of outward facing. We do have a lot of kind of in-house stuff to kind of help occupy a lot of the residents. But the main focus has been around the residents trying to find a life outside. For a lot of the people that we've got up at Gledhall, they've been in institutions or have been in hospital or under Mental Health Act for a very long time. And that can be quite daunting to then step out into the big wide world and not have the protection of the Mental Health Act or the restrictions, and be able to kind of have choices of how they want to live their life. So often when we meet with residents, we'd start off by looking at kind of what their long-term goals are. We use a bit of an initial assessment, which is used across most Signet sites, and then kind of tailor that and try to get residents to think a bit outside the box, something that they might not have tapped into for a very long time, or they've always wanted to do, or that they've been either too scared or they've been too restricted to be able to access. So that's how kind of my day works. Each site, so Gledhall here and Gledhall number one, the site over there, have like a morning meeting, which helps plan their day. Kind of, again, exploring what people want to do outside. Some people might spontaneously say, actually, I want to go, I don't know, a trip to the seaside. Things like that obviously have to be planned further in advance, unless people feel comfortable to be able to go out on their own. So it's very varied. A strong focus here is on MDT working as well. Places that I kind of worked at before sometimes work in a bit of a siloed format, which doesn't really help. So communication doesn't really work. People are doing their own thing with residents and there doesn't seem to be much forward thinking about moving on. Whereas here, that's kind of the focus from the offset. So the communication between us all, right down from kind of all the housekeeping to kitchen staff, all the way to the nurses, support staff, to the psychology team, everyone really, we all kind of chip in and know where we're at with each resident.
And how important is kind of the spirit of co-production with working with residents and helping them find their way, their future?
So from each resident, like when they arrive, they have like an initial monthly meeting. And from there, we have what's called like a visual discharge plan. And that looks from the offset what they want to see through their journey through Glados. So it's always kind of forward thinking. For some people, that obviously is daunting. So that might be a bit smaller. So they might want to, I don't know, start doing all the shopping for themselves. But for some people, it might be, actually, I want to have my own flat. I want to have a job eventually. So it could be a pie in the sky or something really little. But that's kind of from the offset. That's where we start, really. We have these visual discharge planning meetings where we all work as a team to support the residents to achieve their goals. So they're at the heart of that. Other aspects of like co-production is we kind of get residents to promote what they're really passionate about. So we've got some residents that have got their own art projects that they're looking at, some residents that are helping out at university, providing presentations about their mental health journeys. We've got some residents that are wanting to get back into employment and help out into society. So it really, really differs around what each individual would want. So I think that's been, it's very person-centred around their journey here.
We've been speaking to Peter about the work he's been doing to support other people through Maglia therapy and selling his artwork. Do you think that that drive to help other people is an ethos that a lot of residents hold at Gledholt Muse?
Yeah, that tends to be the ethos. A lot of the residents have a keen interest in helping other people as well. So we'd actively kind of support them to pursue that goal and that aspiration. So Peter, who you'd mentioned before, is very keen on helping others. He's currently also accessing a college course to enhance his skills on working with people with mental health. I'm sure he'll tell you about that later. We've got other residents, like I've mentioned before, around going into universities as well, like teaching future professionals from nurses to paramedics about mental health and kind of the approaches that work. So kind of the service user or the resident experience is kind of the heart of it. Because at the end of the day, that's, we want to kind of find out from first-hand experience, because otherwise, as a practitioner, you don't really know what approach will work. So hearing it from the people that we're supporting really kind of helps enhance future working and how we can promote positive mental health and positive journeys.
Mm-hmm. And do you think that helps with their own kind of mental health journey and their own recovery, that give sense of giving back and a sense of purpose?
Definitely. For a lot of the residents, part of the reason why they want to kind of give back is to ensure that other people don't fall into kind of the potentially not negative situations that they might have experienced. I know there's been a big thing on kind of health inequalities that the NHS England and Public Health England are looking at. So this is kind of what we want to avoid. So a lot of the residents aren't wanting that to happen and wanting to make positive changes. And the way society kind of sees and views mental health, it's a lot in the media. And it's all around now, but stereotypes and stigma is still definitely out there. So I think for a lot of the residents, the heart of that is breaking that down and demonstrating actually there is life outside of an institution.
After speaking with Dishna, I met with Jan and Gemma, support workers at Gledholt Muse. We spoke about what it feels like to be part of the Gledholt community and why they love working here. We also chatted about having the courage to listen, reflect, and give people the space and support that they need to find themselves again.
So I'm Gemma, senior support worker, and I've been here for nearly 8 months now.
And I'm Jan. I'm senior support worker / clinical admin. got to get the full title in there. And I've been here about 6.5 months.
Oh, brilliant. And what's the typical day like for you?
Busy, but in a good way. Very productive, get things done. Sometimes it can be hectic, where things don't get done, but the most important things have been done. Then we have slow days where everyone just don't want to bother with you. You have to go like, you know, do you want to come out and talk to me? Let's do something. So every day, like, varies really. It's just different every single shift.
I was talking to Enrique earlier and to Peter, one of the residents here, and he said there's a certain, in past places where he's lived, there's people come with a certain preconception about how you are as a person because you've had mental ill health. Do you think there's a stigma there?
There is a stigma. Like, we get the pre-admission forms in with that resident, but with us, it's a blank canvas. It's a fresh start. And we want to learn about you as a person now because it's in the past and people change and grow from what they've, you know, what's happened. So it's always a fresh start for them, and we learn about them and how they want to progress. But it is a massive stigma. You know, you see it on paper, you think that person's still the same. Yeah,
I agree. We always try and get to know that person, how they are now and what they want to be in the future. And we take that and we run with it, basically. Yeah.
You support anything that they kind of, how do you guide them and steer them into kind of their own independence?
So we ask them, you know, what do you want your goals to be? What do you want to achieve while you're here? And we help them, you know, put that into action. We set up plans for them, get them doing things ready for when they are evolving out of here to go back into the community and the tools that they're going to need. So we listen to them, what they need, and we just help and support and encourage them, you know, to progress and achieve it.
And what's the reaction of most residents? Are they kind of quite surprised by that? It's not something that they've experienced before?
Definitely, yeah. To have that support, it's quite new to them, and it's still an adjustment, but they appreciate it. And I think we see that because they put in the effort to engage, and then they do the activities that they would like to do.
What attracted you into kind of caring roles and also to Gledhope?
I mean, I've always wanted to work in mental health anyway. And obviously when I found out about this place, it's different, because obviously when they've been hospitalised, they have everything stripped, all the rights. But when they come here, it's given back to them, but not all at once. So it's gradual, so it's not overloaded. And I love seeing the transformation from when they first came to where they are now. It's a feeling it's nice. It is nice. It's so positive for them, and they've got such a different outlook on life, and don't let the mental health stop, you know, hold them back, which I just love. Yeah. It's sad to see them go, obviously, but it's nice at the same time. It's like they're fleeing the nest.
That's it. Yeah, you've raised.
Yeah, you've done your job, basically.
They're fully formed. No, I won't want to say a fully formed human, but they've become themselves. They've become who they are. I guess, aspired to be, and that's lovely to see. Yeah. But for me, I never knew that I wanted to do care until I started uni, and then I got my first job, which was support work, and I just love it, making an impact on someone's life, even if it's just to make them a cup of tea and just sit with them for 5 minutes and make the day. What I love about Signet Gledhope Muse is the environment. I think the staff here have such a positive energy. Coming to work never feels like work. It feels like coming to another person's house, almost coming to a community where you feel accepted and loved.
Mm-hmm. And we all like rely on each other as well. You know, if we're struggling with our mental health, we can always speak to staff and say, look, you know, I'm not having a good day. And we've always got each other's back as well. So it's literally like one massive family. Yeah. It's nice. It's very tight-knit. Yeah. But we've all got we're looking out for each other and just want the best for each other, because us staff learn a lot about ourselves as well as working here, you know, like the model of care, which we do with these guys. I go home and I think, actually, this is why I am the way I am today. So we're learning about ourselves all the time. So it's really, really good. In counselling, but like getting paid to have counselling.
Basically, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you do get to learn a lot about yourself. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. It's kind of a reflective practice almost, the way.
Yes, definitely.
And how do you create that sense of community in such a short space of time as a team?
I think everyone that works here obviously wants the same outcome. So we all literally just pan together and just work our socks off.
Yeah.
You know, and because some of these guys have been through a lot of trauma. And while they're here, we want them to be happy, you know, feel safe, and know that they don't need to be scared to ask for support. Like, a lot of them revert back to the role places where they've been, and they'll be like, well, they never did that for me, you know. And I'm like, this is a new place. It's a new beginning. You know, let's just start afresh, and we'll just keep pushing forward.
Is that quite difficult to do, to try and not say forget about the past, but
to break the cycle, kind of? Yeah, it is sometimes with some residents. They're kind of stuck in that mentality. But if you keep persevering like we do, they finally crack a little bit, and then that person actually comes out who they are, mm-hmm. and not how they've been made when they've been, like, you know, in hospital and stuff like that. They're finding out about the self and then giving us more insight how they are. And then we can help them more then. Yeah.
How do you kind of tease that out and create that space for people to work out who they are without that label?
I would say it's all about consistency in our approach to that resident. It's always an empathetic approach, an almost yes, you can approach. Yeah, it's always, if you haven't tried, then you never know, mm-hmm. sort of thing.
Yeah, so we had one lady come in and she was mute. She wouldn't speak to anybody. So we followed the module, what Enrique set up, of being consistent and letting her come to us, you know, and getting her to talk. And we drew back and we said, if you want to come and see us, you know, you need to tell us verbally what you need, otherwise we can't help you. And to begin with, we thought, oh God, it feels a bit bad. But we did, and eventually she's speaking now, and she does speak to us all the time, yeah, and joining in meetings and stuff. Yeah, it were like a euphoria moment, wasn't it, when she finally spoke?
Like a cocoon moment, the butterfly moment. Yeah, yeah. And when she first spoke to me, I was like, oh my gosh.
Like, did a little dance in your head, but like kept a poker face, not to make a big
issue. Right, yeah. And much more active in the community now. Yeah, and it's just lovely to see that growth in someone.
When you get like a breakthrough, the feeling is just something else. I don't know. It's like a proud mum moment. You know, do you know what I mean? It sounds weird though, but it is. It's like you're a proud parent. Yeah, definitely go for it. You know, it's life changing for you and them at the same time. And I think if we can all pan together over mental health, hopefully the numbers in suicide and things will start dropping and people will speak out more and not be ashamed, you know, of mental health. Hopefully one day.
It's clear from speaking to Peter and the staff team that there's a special energy at Gledhop Muse, and it's easy to understand why everyone loves it here and comes away with a feeling of purpose. We couldn't resist a quick chat with Simon, a support worker who was just bursting with passion about the service and how he was born to care. Over to you, Simon.
Hi, my name's Simon and I'm a support worker at Gledhop Muse. We support people with mental health problems, with appointments, helping them to get back into society and promoting good hygiene, good sleep hygiene, just basic life skills across the board, whatever needs that they may need on that particular day. I can't speak highly enough. I've never had a job where I just love. Just the fact that it's new and the residents, and it just the staff, it just the entire environment, the energy that we're creating, the actual fact that it's a new service and it's a unique service. And I'm just proud to be part of something that's growing, because I've been here since day one. So I've watched it from nurtured seeds, and I want it to grow into a big tree. And I'm as passionate about my job when I walked in on December the 8th last year, and I still hold that passion, because Enrique is quite inspiring as well. And Marta, they give us some, you know, they all support the staff team and, you know, and the residents. We're just all one big organism trying to grow and trying to help each other. It's amazing. I have never worked with a staff team that just get on. It's an honour. I was born to do this. I'll be honest with you, the reason I came into this job, one of the main reasons, I had a friend, my best friend, and he had personality disorder, and I didn't understand it at the time. Now, 3 years ago, my friend sadly committed suicide. I shared a house with him. So this was one of the main reasons why I wanted to come back into this type of work. My background's been learning disabilities for my previous 13 years, but that was the main sole reason for me wanting to do this, to try and, if I can say something or just be part of a chain to say something, or try to help somebody not to do that. Do you know what I mean? So it's kind of personal to me as well, you know, and the support we get is second to none, you know, we're a good team.
Hello, I'm Marianna Hollish and I'm an activity coordinator at Gledhop. Thanks for listening to the Changing Lives podcast. I hope you enjoy hearing our stories. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes or Spotify to keep up with all the latest episodes.